All right. Well, you probably think you know what I'm going to say, but I'm not going to say what I sometimes do. I will say, turn with me if you will, but this time it's not where the Torah portion begins, because what we've done the last couple weeks is I tried to break up the first two parshot in Genesis, which are big and too big, in my opinion, to do them justice. So we spent a couple of weeks talking about Bereshit, and then last week the first part of the book of Noach, which begins in, actually begins at around chapter 6. There's a little bit of it that starts before, and the Parsha officially begins in the chapter 6, verse 9, where the first word is, in fact, Noach, who was essentially a righteous man in his generations and so forth. Then we get the story, obviously, of the flood, and that's about where we left off. So that what I can do this week is talk about the rest of Parsha Noah, which isn't really about Noach as well. It's got to do a little bit of the genealogy where it begins, but it really begins with the story of a place you may have heard of called Shinar, or aka Babylon, and of course the tower that was famous there too of Babel. So that is essentially the heart of the rest of the Parsha Noah. And we'll begin in around, let's just say the end of chapter 9, where we have after the event with Noah and his sons, and it says that he essentially cursed not Ham, but Ham's son Canaan, or Canaan. And he blessed be Yahuwah, God of Shem, let Canaan be their servant. And Noah then went to say, and may Elohim enlarge Yapeth. He shall dwell in the tents of Shem, and let Canaan be their servant. And then it says Noah lived after the flood another 350 years, total, all of his days, 950 years, and then he died. So chapter 10 begins with the toldot, the generations of the sons of Noah. And basically it's Shem, Ham, and Yapeth, and they had other sons that were born after the flood, and those sons were of Japheth, Gomer, Magog, Madai, Yavan, Tubal, Meshach, and Tiras. And then Gomer himself had sons, Ashkenaz, and we recognize that name. The Ashkenazi seemed to take the name from there, Rephath and Togarmah. And the sons of Yavan, Elisha, and Tarshish, Kittim, and Dodarim. Dodanim, actually. And these were the isles of the nations divided in their lands, everyone after their tongue, their families, and their nations. And then Ham had some sons. We know these names, Cush, Mitzrayim, and that sounds familiar because that's the name that was later given to the people of the land, and the sons, evidently, of Mitzrayim, and a.k.a. Egypt in English, and Put, as well as the aforementioned Canaan. Now, Cush had sons, Seba, Havilah, Sabtaf, and Ra'amah, and Sabteka, the sons of Ra'amah were Sheba and Dedan. And then Cush, here comes the plot thickening, the fellow who was the first son of Cush there, first son of Ham, named Cush, he begot Nimrod. So Cush's father is Ham, and that means that Nimrod is the daughter, the grandson of Ham. And he, it says, began to be a mighty one, and in the a Gabor, and this is the first use of that word, and it seems to have some kind of a relationship to the word that's used for giant as well, a mighty one, a big guy. He was a mighty hunter before Yahuwah. Wherefore it said, like Nimrod, a mighty hunter before Yahuwah. And the beginning of his kingdom was this place called Babel, and Erech Akkad Kalne, in the land of Shinar. Out of that land went forth Asher. They built Nineveh, and Rehoboth-ir, and Calah, and Rezin between Nineveh and Calah. That's the same as the great city. And Mitzrayim had Ludim, and Anamim, and Lehabim, and Naphtuhim. And Pathrushim, and Kasluhim, whenceforth went the Philistines. And Kaphtorim. Canaan begot Zidon, his firstborn, and Heth. You notice as we go through here, we're going to see a lot of places that seem more familiar because of place names as well, or names of humans that became place names is one way to put it. And among them, the Jebusite, the Amorite, and the Girgashite. We see Abraham. We're going to see the sons of Heth involved in that story. The Hivite, the Arkite, and the Sinite, and the Arvadite, the Zemarite, and the Hamathite. And afterward were the families of the Canaanites spread abroad. The border of the Canaanite was from Zidon, as you go towards Gerar, to unto Gaza, as you go towards Sodom and Gomorrah, and Admah and Zeboim unto Lasha. These, it says, are the sons of Ham, after their families, after their tongues, in their lands, in their nations. So lots of people descended from Ham, and of course lots of names we recognize as not being favorites among the, those that were blessed and beloved of Yah. You got the Philistines in there, and lots of other names we recognize. Unto Shem, the father of all the children of Eber, the elder brother of Japheth, also to him were children born. Sons of Shem included Elam and Ashur, Arpachshad, and Lud, and Aram. The sons of Aram, in turn, Uz, Hul, Gether, and Mash. Arpachshad, he begot Shelah, and Shelah then, in turn, begot Eber. And this name's going to begin familiar, isn't it? Unto Eber were born two sons. The name of one was Peleg, for in his days was the earth divided. His brother's name was Yoktan. So Peleg is when we get that this reference to the division of the earth. Now, there's lots of interesting commentary, midrash on that, about where the continents divided, maybe the plates separated, and so forth. So that's, I would say, at least a bit speculative, but certainly there's a hint in here in Scripture along those lines. So Yoktan begot Almodad, and Shelef, and Hazmar Mavet, and Yera, and Hadoram, and Uzal, and Dikla, Obal, Abimael, and Sheba, Ophir, and Havilah of Yokav. All of these were the sons of Yoktan. Their dwelling was from Mesha, as you go toward Sephar, under the mountain of the east. These, it says, are the sons of Shem and their families, after their tongues, in their lands, after their nations. These, then, all of them, are the families of the sons of Noach, and their generations, in their nations, and of these were the nations divided in the earth after the flood. So these sons were those of which the nations were divided after the flood. Now, the sages, of course, will talk about 70 nations. And it tells us then, as we begin the next chapter, that when this happened, or at least at this point in time, the whole earth, Kol Ha'eretz, was of one language and of one speech. Notice there were some references in there to different tongues. But at this point, it says, all of the earth was of one speech, a speech that was Echad. And it came to pass, as they journeyed to the east, they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. Now, we recognize another name for this place is, in fact, Babylon, and we see the root there with the town, or the city named Babel. They said to one another, come on, let's make ourselves some brick and burn them thoroughly. They had brick for stone and slime for mortar. So they built this major thing out of brick, as opposed to regular stone, and held it together with mortar that was made from slime. Now, there's an interesting midrash on this one, too. It says this was a major innovation in terms of building efficiency, because these bricks were basically cast, and as a result, they were all uniform. So it really made them easy, as you've seen, anybody that's built with brick, to lay out a lot of things in lines. Whereas with stone, you had to be more careful. Either had to cut them, which was time-consuming, and or then fit them, which was also time-consuming. So this was a more efficient process, and we see exactly how that ends up playing out with the tower itself. So they said, come on, let's build us a city and a tower with its top to Hashemayim, the heavens. Let's make a name. Make a Shem. Make a name. What does that mean? Lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth. Now, we know that when it comes to Yah, his name is associated with his word, and it literally represents his character. So there is a lot of significance to this idea of name, and I think nowadays we tend to kind of underestimate what it means when it says these people are saying, let's make ourselves a name. So Yahuwah came down to see the city and the tower which the children of men were building, and he said, behold, they are a people who are Echad. And they all have one language. It's a language that is also Echad. And this is what they're starting to do. And now nothing will be withholden from them which they purpose to do. So come on, let's go on down there and confound their language, that they might not understand one another's speech. So he scattered them abroad from there. Now this word is interesting too. It's Yafatz. And it seems to have this understanding of mingled, as if like when oil is mingled with water. But they're now scattered. And they quit building on that city. So the name of the place was called Babel, because Yahuwah there did confound the babblings of the language of all the earth. I think that's where the root of the English word comes from. And from there did Yahuwah scattered them abroad upon the face of all the earth. And you know what? There's not a lot of reference to Nimrod in Scripture. As much as we think we know about him, it's kind of fascinating how little there really is about Nimrod per se. There's a whole lot of lore, for sure. Now, these, it says, are the generations, the toldot of Shem. Shem was 100 years old, and he begot Arpachshad 2 years after the flood. Now, Shem lived after that time. We see this pattern, and we saw it all the way back with Adam. He lived after he begot Arpachshad 500 more years, and he begot sons and daughters. Now, an interesting observation, and I've mentioned this before, if you go through and lay out the timelines of these lives and the deaths and the births, and you can plot when the flood was around 2,000 years after the beginning that's noted in Genesis 1, and what you'll also see is that Shem was still alive, no doubt about it, during the time of Abraham. As a matter of fact, there's a lot of midrash that I joke about it, because we can't prove it, but you certainly can suggest that it is at least consistent with what we know about from Scripture, because Shem was clearly alive. Did, in fact, Abraham know his great-great-great-granddaddy? Did, in fact, his son or his grandson even know him? It would have all been possible. And what I started to say, I joke about, is Shem you, that it's possible that at some point, like when Yaakov went away to go up north and see what was happening and get himself some wives, that he may have stopped along route and spent some time with his uncle Shem or his granddad, great-great-great-granddaddy Shem, at Shem's University of the Torah. We don't know that. But there certainly is no shortage of suggestion to that effect from various of the Midrash. Again, it's tradition. It's not necessarily provable, but it is, in fact, at least consistent with what Scripture tells us. And it wouldn't necessarily be surprising either, given that these are people whose names appear in Scripture. Kind of makes sense that they may know each other. We know them. Arpachshad lived 530 years, so he was 35, and then he begot this young man named Shelah. Arpachshad lived after he begot Shelah another 403 years. He had other sons and daughters. Shelah then lived for 30 years. He begot Eber. And after that, he lived another 403 years. He had other sons and daughters. Eber lived 34 years, and he begot Peleg. Now remember, Peleg, during the time of his life, the continents or the earth was divided. So Eber lived after he begot Peleg another 430 years. He begot sons and daughters. And Peleg lived 30 years, and he begot Reu. After that, he lived another 209 years. He had other sons and daughters. Reu, at age 32, begot Serug. After that, he lived another 207 years. He had other sons and daughters. Notice that we're seeing a decrease in the lifespans as we go through this time period from generation to generation. Remember when Yahuwah has said the man's life will be essentially 120 years, and we're getting there over a period of time. Serug, he lived 30 years. He had a son, Nahor. Then after that, he lived another 200 years, begot other sons and daughters. At age 29, Nahor begot Terah. After he begot Terah, he lived another 119 years. That's a far cry from the 400 plus that his great-granddaddies were living. He begot other sons and daughters. Now, that name, Terah, should sound familiar, because we're finally getting to a place where we're going to say, oh yeah, now the story is going to take a slowdown, and we're going to get more detail about the individuals. Terah, at age 70, begot three sons. Bet we know these names. Abram, Nahor, and Haran. Now it says, these are the toldot, the generations of Terah. Terah begot Abram, Nahor, and Haran. And he begot another fellow, and Haran, by the way, one of the three brothers there, he begot another fellow we've probably heard of, Lot. So Haran died in the presence of his father Terah in the land of his nativity, Ur of the Chaldees, and Abraham and Nahor got themselves some wives. The name of Abraham's wife, we've heard of her, Sarai, name of Nahor's wife, Milcah, daughter of Haran, the father of Milcah, and the father of Iscah. So this is the only reference in Torah to that one, perhaps another sister. But we're, again, speculating there. Sarai, as we're going to find out later, was barren. She had no child. And at some point it says, Terah took Abram his son, and Lot, the son of Haran, his son's son. So he took his grandson and Abram, and along with their wives, including Sarai, and they went forth with them from this place of their nativity, their birth, Ur of the Chaldees, to go into the land of Canaan. Now, Canaan is a big land, so they're headed in this at this point in the direction of the land that became the Holy Land. They're not all the way yet there. They came to a place called Haran, and they dwelt there. And essentially, the Midrash says this is about a quarter of the way, about 25% of the distance from Ur of the Chaldees to Yerushalayim. And then it tells us, and this is where the Torah portion ends, and we'll pause here. The days of Terah were 205 years, that's total, and he died there in Haran. All right, so what we have at this point is a genealogy that takes us all the way down to the man who is going to be the focus of Scripture for, essentially the rest of the book of Genesis. He and his sons and his sons' sons, or he and his son, singular, and his sons' sons. Well, actually, we're going to see the descendants of Abram and what happens to him and all the way through the rest of the book of Genesis. Obviously, he is the first of what will be referred to as, rightfully, the patriarchs.